The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
And then we're both wobbly, like, you know, two sailors on a ship that's going down, and I ended up falling a little bit on top of you. And then after, is it okay if I say what you said?
Oh, go for it. So, why not?
So, I mean, you know, it's so just, we're supposed to be there and elegant. Instead, we're writhing in the mud.
Lisa Harper shares about life, an obsessively grateful, undone by Jesus, genuinely happy and not faking it through the hard stuff kind of 100-day devotional. Next.
Hi, welcome to Life Today. I'm Sheila Walsh, and I have a little treat for you. You know, I don't often get a chance to watch the shows back because, you know, well, life, you know, busy cooking meals, vacuuming, walking dogs, you know, all that stuff. But every now and again, I'll kind of go through different things and I'll stop on one or two programs that just I love so much. And so that's what we're going to do today. I had a chance to interview one of my we've been friends. I always think of her as my little sister. We've been friends for, gosh, 35 years. When I used to live in Nashville, Lisa Harper was head of women's ministries at Christ Presbyterian. And I used to go to her Bible studies because they were so good. But you had to get there early because so many women wanted to go to her Bible study. And so you wanted to get a seat. But Lisa had a new book. It's a devotional, and it's great. But having her here on set and having this interview, just watching it again made me realize just one of the many reasons why I love her. She's brilliant. I mean, she's working on her doctoral thesis at the moment. She is incredibly funny and she is real. She's just transparent. And she and I have got up to some interesting things through the years. So I thought you might enjoy taking another look at this. Okay, so it's called Life, an obsessively grateful, undone by Jesus, genuinely happy and not faking it through the hard stuff, kind of 100-day devotional. It's so brilliant. Let me tell talk to me, what was the genesis of this for you?
I almost blew us up. It was the beginning of COVID, and I got, you know where we live, Missy and I live.
Beautiful.
Out in the boonies, and all of a sudden it was like, you know, I travel for work, and it was like, well, okay, these long months are stretched in front of us, and I'm not a good couch potato, so I thought I'll just do a little light landscaping. And, you know, I'm single, and so I have chainsaws. And I thought, I'm just going to cut down this tree because it would look better with a bush there because I had just time on my hands. And I'm sawing this tree, the bottom of this tree, with a chainsaw. And I, you know me, I'm a little bit of a delayed responder. And so I just thought, that's odd. And I, you know, I had the safety glasses. I was, you know, had worship music. But I thought, that's odd. I didn't know this chainsaw threw sparks. And then right as I thought that, I smelled propane. And I was like, I mean, I cut through part of a propane line. And I thought, you know, after the emergency crews came and everything and told me I almost blew us up, I thought, you know, I probably need to harness some of this energy over this being discombobulated by, you know, just the whole world changed. And I sensed God saying, Lisa, you think this season is tumultuous, but if you'll look back over your life, you'll see that every valley you've walked through, I was sufficient. And I thought, I'm just going to go back and kind of mine the chapters of my life, you know, the seasons that we were laughing so hard, we had tears streaming down our face, or grieving so deeply I ran out of tears. I thought, I just want to go back through my story and God's story, because I really believe it's redemptive from cover to cover. And it ended up being a devotional book, and I told my publisher that I just, you know, I always feel like sometimes devotional books are written by the saints who have it all together. And I feel like I've got to, like, get my stuff together before I even start reading the devotional. And I said, I want people to feel safe before they open it up. Mm. So my only non-negotiable was that crazy subtitle, because I want the woman who says, goodness gracious, how could a perfect God actually delight in a woman like me that has, you know, so many mistakes in my backstory? And so it was much more fun than I expected. So we dive pretty deep. Every mm-hmm. devotional has scripture, but it's fun too. A lot of wonderful times with God, whether it was a high or low.
You know what's interesting? For all the years that I've known you, no matter what you're talking about, no matter what you're teaching on, no matter what you're writing, all the strands go back to your passionate belief in the power of the Word of God.
I do.
And I almost felt like this is a safe place for some people who are thinking, yeah. I'm not sure where to start.
Right. I'm not sure how to dive into Habakkuk, yeah. but maybe I could read a story. I totally agree with you. I think, especially in our culture, I feel like Scripture is either maligned as a punitive rule book, or it's taken as kind of a spiritual smorgasbord. Just reach in and get a meme that you can put on social media because it's inspirational. And it's like, oh my goodness, it's so much better than that. From beginning to end, God is always, if you get it, if you get the context, He's always restraining evil. He's always restoring our dignity. He's not a mean God. He's not a capricious God. He's a redeemer. And then He's always pointing us toward Jesus.
Yeah.
Now, always. So I see a lot of people who think the Old Testament, or talk to a lot of people who say the Old Testament is like God is a unibrowed librarian, and New Testament, you know, is Jesus with Brett Girl hair extensions hugging everybody. And if that were true, God would be bipolar. That is not who He is.
Yeah.
He is perfectly compassionate, perfectly holy, but so accessible yeah. all the way through. It's just we don't usually take the time to get to know the... Remember that VH1 story on show? I don't know if they still have it, and I'm not advocating it. But Behind the Music.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when they
mm-hmm.
tell the stories yeah. kind of behind why that song was written. I think we don't take the time to go, oh, my goodness, this is a real story. It's a supernatural love story. Let me dig in there, because it's amazing. It's not boring. It's the antithesis of boring.
Yeah. Now, talking about restoring dignity, let me take you to day two. So day one, I'm reading
day one. That's like my favorite devotional.
And I'm like, oh, this is so beautiful. With the real happy, please stand up. Happy of the poor in spirit. Then I get to day two.
You know I couldn't have that story and not put it out there. God would not have let us live that moment if we weren't supposed to share it.
You realize I have the photographs to prove it?
You got to tell the story.
No, you wrote it. You have to tell the story.
Okay, you know, concise is not my gift. So I'll try to make the story, because this story could be like a week of shows. If you haven't figured out, I am pathologically biased about Sheila. I think she is just... She truly is one of the most amazing people I've ever met in my whole life. And you're much classier than I am. It's like one of these things is not like the other one. But we got invited to be the kind of the hostesses at a Christian movie premiere. And so it wasn't a Hollywood red carpet. It was more strip mall polypropylene kind of an event. And Barry, at the time, Sheila's husband, had this just claustrophobic little sports car. And so I was in my usual fluffy season. So I was like double Spanx. You were in some gorgeous, elegant outfit. And we get to the movie premiere. And he, remember, he parked us out at the edge of the parking lot.
He got so a new car. He didn't want anybody to come near his car.
I had forgotten.
And he had packed lunch to get to the mall.
I was remembering it even kinder because I love Barry, so I didn't want to castigate Barry in this. So he parks us away from where the event is. But I thought it was so we could fluff and, you know, kind of get better before we walk up to this exciting event.
Carpet, yeah,
with like 12 people waiting for us with bated
eight,
breath. I'm exaggerating.
Yeah.
So anyway, Sheila gets out just so elegantly and so smoothly, but Barry had parked you right next to a grassy median, and it had rained like the last several days, so you didn't know, because all you saw was the green grass, that it was so muddy, and you were wearing your typical, you know, 4-inch heels, and she got stuck. It was like she was pinned in the mud like a stork, and you were kind of flailing.
Oh, flailing's
kind. And of
course,
Barry's not rescuing you. He's taking pictures.
No, he's taking
and
photos.
You are my, like, favorite person and, like, my big sister, and I'm like, I'm going to rescue you, doggone it. But I'm packed in the back of his car and Spanx, so it took me like 13 minutes to get out. I think I broke a nail. I finally get out to rescue you. Well, I'm always have been bigger than you, and I also was wearing heels. So when I go to grab you to stabilize you, I get stuck, and then we're both wobbly, like you know, two sailors on a ship that's going down, and I ended up falling a little bit on top of you. And then after, is it okay if I say what you said?
Oh, go for it. So, why not?
So, I mean, you, it's so just, we're supposed to be there and elegant. Instead, we're writhing in the mud. Sheila's underneath me, and I hear this beautiful Scottish lilt. Help, I'm peeing. Which I couldn't stop
laughing so hard.
Just crying, laughing. And so then we have to somehow get ourselves up from this just messy heap and pretend like, you know, we have it together and walk toward the event. It really was one of the most, I always have so much fun with you. I think the thing I love about you, I am obviously a hot mess. You don't look like a hot mess. There's just something about you that's so, I always feel like there's something about you that's so royal. Oh, not just Jesus, but you are elegant. But you never, ever put up a facade. You know, there's just this honest, I can't make it without Jesus.
Do you remember we never even made it into the movie?
Yeah, we
because couldn't. We were so muddy.
The whole back of us was, we were like the swamp creature. But we tried, you had to do that television show, remember?
I know.
They had like the drone and the
Tony
camera.
Tony Romo was there.
Oh, yeah, that's like, right, I forgot
that was
about
awful.
That. I just stood behind you and cackled most of the time.
But the fact you included it, I feel so honored.
I felt like it was very holy. I felt like I could, it was a little bit of a stretch, but I was pretty sure I could get us to scripture.
Okay, so some of the stories are funny, but some of them, I mean, you could call it, there's depth here, Lisa.
Yeah.
This is a deep, profound book. Mm-hmm. Day 62, you talk about the holiness of helplessness.
Oh, yeah.
Talk to us about that.
Yeah. One of my favorite living theologians, and I know yours too, is Dr. Tim Keller. Mm-hmm. And I was studying the Gospel of Mark, and you know that story where the dad of the sick kid and... because my little girl that adores you, your Aunt Sheila, but I got to be Missy's mom through the miracle of adoption. And Missy was really, really sick when I started the story. And so I identify with a parent who's worried mm-hmm. about a child's physical health. And there's that point where he confesses to Jesus when he thinks his son is dying. He says, I believe. In other words, I know you're the Christ. I know you could help. But I'm dying today. Mm-hmm. I'm afraid I'm going to lose my son. Help me in my unbelief.
Yeah.
And I was studying that story, and it was especially resonant with me because of some of Missy's health issues and my fear. You know, I want to be so faithful and know that God is always good, but I am so stinking human that sometimes I forget and I get scared. And I was reading a Tim Keller commentary on that particular story in Mark's Gospel, and he said, and you know, he's such a brilliant theologian and godly man. It kind of surprised me coming from him, but he said that it is helplessness, not holiness, that's the first step to accessing intimacy with God.
Wow.
And that slayed me. I thought, you know, sometimes I try to come before the Lord with all of my, whatever little, you know, power that I have. Power is the wrong word, but competence, thinking he'll kind of bless that. And it's like he tells me over and over again, you come to me with what you don't have. Mm-hmm. Come to me with your absolute lack, and I will bring vibrancy out of void. Mm-hmm. And so come to me when your heart is in pieces. Bring all of yourself, even the messy, scared parts, to all of me, and I will redeem it. And so I think just recognizing the fact that we can't save ourselves, can't heal ourselves, mm-hmm. can't infuse ourselves with peace when life is hard, I think to bring that before the Lord and confess our neediness, I think that's really critical for us to have a vibrant, intimate relationship with God. I was telling a friend the other day, I said, it's kind of like you got to peel off your Spanx when you come before Jesus. Don't try to hold your stomach in and act like you have it all together. You just go, you know me. Mm-hmm. You know, he knows the places where I've been so foolish and my faith has been so feeble. And yet he still calls me not just daughter, but he's like, ah, thank you, hung the moon. His his kindness.
Yeah.
It just gets bigger, doesn't it?
It does.
The older I get, the more undone I am by the kindness of God.
It's so beautiful. It's almost like the capacity increases. And
it does.
Almost as if suffering makes space for a bigger picture of God.
I think that, you know, of course, the veil, the salvific veil between us and God was torn when Jesus gave up his life on the cross. And so I want to be careful with semantics, but there's still, you know, Paul says we see through the glass dimly. So we have a blurry lens. Effectively, you take human finitude and you try to look at the magnitude of God. We can't see him perfectly clearly. I do think suffering, difficulty, pain, if we bring that to the Lord, I think that blur gets a little more clear.
Yeah.
I feel like the times that I've seen God the clearest have been when I'm honest enough to recognize how desperate I am for him. I was, I've gone back to school.
Yeah, doing your doctorate.
Doing a doctorate.
It's
but just to see Jesus, you know, he's revealed to us through Revelation, Holy Spirit, and Holy Writ. And so I just want to see Jesus bigger. Plus, I'm an old mom. Missy's 11, I'm 57. And I think it's one thing for me to say, honey, learning is good. It's another thing for her to see me next to her doing my homework. But I was in a class with this professor has since become, he's the head of my dissertation team, so I have to brag on him because I want to pass. But his whole point over and over and over again, he says you have to study the Bible with the understanding that God is always in the process of mitigating evil. He's always in the process of restoring our inherent dignity as his image bearers. He's always in the process of turning us toward the true north of Jesus Christ. He was talking about a passage in Scripture. This was 2 years ago. It was like my second class at Denver. And he just uncovered this kindness of God in a passage I had understood to be punitive. Like, I thought God was kind of angry in that passage. And I was so taken aback. I thought, I've been studying the Bible for 40 years and it just gets better. He gets bigger. And class was over and everybody left. And I just couldn't get out of my chair. I was so overwhelmed that I just began to weep at the kindness of God. And Dr. Howard had forgotten something. He came back into class, and there I sit, you know, this older woman blubbering in his class. And he was kind of taken aback. I think he probably thought she needs to be in the counseling track, you know, not studying hermeneutics. And so he was kind of taken aback, but he said, are you okay? And I just said, I can't believe he's even better than I hoped he'd be. And I feel like that as a believer, I feel like I'm still, you know, kind of in the honeymoon season with Jesus. He's better than ever. And God's Word reveals that. Yeah. We do ourselves such a disservice when we think this is boring, or we only open it up to be dutiful, or we use it as a club to knock somebody over the head that we disagree with. I'm like, oh, it's so much better than that, so much more liberating.
Oh, gosh, don't you love her? She's amazing. And I'm just sitting here thinking how grateful I am for the years that I've had here at Life, almost 7 years, and the great privilege of interviewing so many amazing men and women, and also getting to know so many of you too. And I really want to commend this book of Lisa's. It honestly is, as we said, whether you're 8 years old or 80, you're going to love this. And for any gift at all, we would love to send that to you, because one of the things that we have cared about, and I learned on day one, the day I sat down with James and Betty in their home, and they invited me to become part of the team, one of the first things they shared was all about mission feeding. And I remember as a 16-year-old girl, you know, when I gave my life to Christ at 11, but at 16, I was like, Lord, I am all in. I want to serve you every day for the rest of my life. And I felt the Lord laid three things on my heart. One was evangelism. Second was teaching the Word of God to other women. And the third was caring for the poor. And being here at Life, I've had that incredible privilege of doing all of those things. And I'll never forget my first mission feeding trip to Angola. I'll never forget what it's like when the plane hits down and that under an African sky in this hot place. And you suddenly begin to see why James and Betty care so much about what's happening around the world. And that's because right at this moment, wherever you're sitting watching this program and me sitting here in the studio, there are mothers and children right now who are literally starving to death. But the incredible good news is that you and I have the privilege of changing that. Watch this.
So we're here in rural Angola, and we've been talking to you about the drought that has ravaged this area, not a one-year drought, not a two-year drought, 5 years of drought. 5 years they've not had enough rainfall to grow a single crop. If you look here, you'll see what's left of this farm is just dry remnants of a crop that used to be. How has the drought affected your ability to, the lack of rain affected your ability to be able to farm?
A falta de chuva, primeira essa seca que nós cultivamos, todo o milho mesmo secou, não colhemos mesmo nada. Assim tem já que fechar a porta para dormir, para as crianças não saírem, senão vai nos vizinhos e pedir comida. Tem que dormir cedo. Tem que dormir mesmo cedo, sim.
Wow. Oh, I'm sorry.
Sinto muito por essa situação.
Oh, sorry, mom. Oh, I'm sorry, man. What's wrong? Shame, I'm sorry, mommy. I know that she would provide for her children. Give her half a chance. Just give her the rain that she needs and she'll cultivate that land. She will work herself as hard as she has to work to provide for those children. But it never rains anymore, is what she said. 5 years of drought. I hope you feel like I do, and if you do, then I'm asking you to please say yes. I'm going to be a part of bringing food and changing this situation for this mother, for her child, so that she doesn't have to close the door early anymore before they go to bed hungry.
It's just heartbreaking to watch that mother just literally break down. These women, so many of these women that I have met over the years, they have to be so strong for their children. They don't want to break down. But every now and again, it's just too much. Every now and again, they get to the place where it's like, I mean, I can't imagine having to close your house door to keep your children in because they're starving and you don't want them going trying to ask somebody else for food. You want to keep them safe, but you know that everybody else in your village is suffering too. And as a mum, that is just heartbreaking to me. And that's why we're bringing this to you right now. This is a wonderful time to get year-end gifts in. And I can't think of any better thing to do with that than to be able to reach out in Jesus' name and provide help and hope and life to these moms and to their children. It's a very doable thing. I mean, it seems overwhelming because our commitment at Life is to feed 350,000 children this year, and we're coming close to the end of the year. But here's how we break it down to make it doable for each one of us. $30. $30 will provide food for three children, not for a week, but for 3 months. $50 provides food for five children. If you've been able to, maybe God's blessed your business and you're able to give $1,000, do you know that that would provide 100 children with food for 3 months? That's like an entire village. So many of these villages that I've been in, I never met one mother who hadn't lost at least one child to malnutrition. Sometimes two, sometimes three, sometimes four. And one mother I met has buried five children. It's unthinkable, and you and I can change that. That's the great thing. We're so grateful to Isaac and our people on the ground who are there day by day, reaching out, finding where the greatest need is. But I can't imagine what it's like 5 years of drought. And I remember the last time I was in Angola with our team, that you just try to dig through the ground and it's hard and there's nothing there. It's giving nothing. But you and I can change that. We can set up mission feeding in those villages. And we provide, I love to call it hope in a bowl, life in a bowl. You'll often see in our footage these little bowls. And we produce factories, we have them in Africa, that produce the food that children in those areas of the world need. And I've been able to sit there and ladle out the food for these children. It's a good, nutritious meal. It literally is life in a bowl. Join with us. It's almost the end of the year. Would you give an end of the year gift, even if you've given before? Let's change the situation there so that these beautiful mothers don't have to sit and weep into their hands. Please, Go to your phone now. Give the very best gift you can. Go online. Let's make a difference because of Jesus.
Across the continent of Africa, children are suffering and facing severe malnutrition. Lack of rainfall and severe drought has led to one of the deadliest food crises in 40 years. With food reserves gone and many areas experiencing severe famine, we urgently need to replenish supplies to keep feeding the 350,000 children who are counting on us. Through Life's Mission Feeding Outreach, your gift of love can be an answer to prayer for a hurting and hungry child in their time of need. Call now with your life-saving gift of $30, $50, or $100 to help feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children for 3 full months. With your gift of any amount, we'll send you the Life Planner. Bound in soft-touch leather, this planner will help you in your daily walk, with space for you to record your appointments, goals, inspirational notes, and prayers. With your gift of $100 or more, please request a scripture pen set, perfect companions to the Life Planner. These beautiful wooden pens are inscribed with scripture references to keep your heart focused on God's plans for you. Finally, with your gift of $1,000 or more to help feed and care for 100 children, be sure to request our inspiring bronze sculpture, Let the Children Come. This beautiful bronze is a reminder to care for children around the world in both word and deed. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
We're seeing crisis at the level from a malnutrition and near starvation perspective here in Angola like I have never seen before. We cannot bring an end to this crisis. We cannot save the lives we need to save without you. We need you to open your hearts today. So please, I'm asking you to dial that number on your screen or to get online and to give the very best gift that you can give today, to give the gift of life by giving the gift of food.
Thanks so much for staying with me. And if the lines are busy, please keep calling. Let's make a difference. And for any gift at all, we will send you Lisa's book. And I can't help myself. I'm going to repeat it one more time. Life, an obsessively grateful, undone by Jesus, genuinely happy and not faking it through the hard stuff, kind of 100-day devotional. For any gift at all, ask for Lisa's book and it'll be our joy to send it to you. So from all of us here at Life, thank you for all you do. Keep calling. God bless you. And don't forget, as we get close to the end of the year, don't forget to get in those year-end gifts. Let's make a difference in Jesus' name.
Tomorrow, painter and author Ann Nielsen recounts thought-provoking and inspiring stories of angel encounters revealing the promise of God's love for us. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.